What is on your mind?
Well, I
well,
did
we
have
a
question.
A number of things on our. Yep.
No, go ahead, Gary.
Go ahead, Tim. Okay.
Yeah, Rob, we were talking about our.
It was just basically going.
Go ahead, Tim. You got it. Question.
We were talking about our, you know, agenda items, our 2-year calendar. This morning and putting that together. And one of the things, I guess, so I will say that I originally thought that the way the meetings were organized is that the agenda topics would be for the meetings where you didn't talk about performance. But then the more I started thinking about it and putting agenda items together for each month, I thought, well, maybe no, you always have an agenda item in addition to performance on the quarterly calls.
Right. And here's the thing. People are always going to be interested in how they're doing. So unfortunately, you need to prepare at least to discuss it. Mm-hmm. Right? So, which you know, you should do anyway all the time, but monthly, you take a look. How are they doing? If they have a question, I just need to be prepared to answer it, right? We're not focusing on performance, but you know what? It's their money. If they want to say, how are we doing? You need to be able to tell them.
Sure.
Okay. But every month what happens is in the old days, we would have twice a year, we'd have a big meeting where we talk about overall strategy and investments and year-end review, right? How'd we do? And quarterly, we'd review performance. And then that was in the days when all we did was manage money. Today, we manage their wealth. We do financial planning. We talk about their life. We're more like life coaches today than we are money managers. And the more we can focus on the clients and the client's life and their issues, the more relevant we'll be to them and the less we'll need to talk about performance. The portfolio is there to serve the client's needs. The client isn't there to provide, you know, for the portfolio. The portfolio is a tool to reach their goals and to allow them to have freedom, right? And control. There's a book now that I'm reading called The Psychology of Money. And he talks about the most important thing in terms of people being happy is a sense of control. Now, in the end, we all know we're really not in control of much, right? We live and we die. Guaranteed. Sorry if that's news to anybody. But the reality is we want, during that dash, we want to feel a sense of control. And the more financial freedom we have, the more money we have, the more, assuming we don't spend too much, the more sense of control we have. And frankly, there's a direct relation to that, to your sense of contentment and freedom and happiness. So when people say money doesn't make you happy, in reality, financial freedom does provide control, which makes you happy. So I kind of disagree with them. I think that the key to happiness is helping others. Okay. But initially it's a sense of control, but true happiness comes from being able to be of service and to help others and to make make others happy. You know, they always say Christmas, right? It's more fun to give than to receive. And we all know that. You get a thrill out of the presents you give that some makes somebody, makes somebody's life better. Mm-hmm. So.
And Rob, is it, so as a follow up to that, so let's say it's October, and let's say October we're focusing on a particular performance for a household or relationship.
Yep.
Are we also, if let's say we were talking about portfolio rebalancing and we had something or whatever, liability management, are we mm-hmm. also talking to them about that and about this review?
If you have time.
Okay.
If you have time. All if right. they didn't just, if they had, if they just had another, if they just had a brand new grandchild, and that's what they want to talk about, that's probably what you're going to end up talking about. And that's where yeah. your sense of interpersonal skills and listening skills and all the rest of it come into play. Cause you're going to, it's like you guys, if you start asking me questions and you want to talk about a certain thing, we're going to spend 80% of the time on that. And we'll go back and make sure we cover what we need to cover. But we're going to talk about what you want to talk about. As long as we're moving in the same direction, you know. But we can get there in a lot of different ways. And that's why when you're really comfortable with your subject matter, you don't need to stay with a particular narrow agenda. You can go off and then come back. Go off and come back. But if you don't have an agenda, you go off and then you're gone. And you never come back. So just, you know, you'll get a sense of timing, and it's very much like these calls. You know, you got, we schedule it for 30 minutes. If it goes to 45, it's okay by me. I just have to be ready for my next call. Okay. So you schedule them every hour. So you want to get off and get a break and get ready for your next call. Write your notes for your previous call and try and do it right after you get off the call so you don't pile them up. People say, well, I got five calls that I had to write up executive summaries for. I said, don't do that. Give yourself enough time between calls, you know, to get off to write up your executive summary and then move on to your next one. So you'll get used to the rhythm, but you can do it really fast. You don't have to take a lot of time. But like one team I have right now is because of volatility of the market, they're talking about rebalancing or, you know, tax swapping or whatever. So if you need to adjust the calendar because of volatility or rebalancing or whatever, then you adjust. Don't let the calendar drive you. You drive the calendar. So good question, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, Gary, what do you have?
Well, I have nothing other than a comment. We are all prepared to report from our particular areas of directorship and domain. We have went through this and
great.
Everybody has been, you know, prepared to do so. And just to tell you that we've had a really, really good week, I believe. You know, some weeks are better than others, but everyone has really, you know, focused and concentrated. Andrea in particular, as you'll see, I think has really had a good week and put a lot of things organizationally that we think are important. So we're ready to go.
Okay. So let's start with planning.
Can you guys hear me okay?
We can.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm trying to toggle between this call and then the spreadsheet that I've got. So from a planning perspective, what I've done is I've looked at all the plans that have been, I'm not sure how much you know about our process, Rob, but plans can be built, you know, created, built, maintained, and then finalized. And what finalized means is basically we're attesting to the fact that the plan has been updated and sent to the client and presented. That's from a Supernova perspective, because I'm looking at this from several different angles. And from a Supernova perspective, what I've done is I've taken each Supernova client and each Butler and shown the last date that the plan was accessed, shown the date that the plan was finalized and presented. There are far fewer plans that have been finalized and presented, which isn't a big deal. There are many plans that have been presented online, similar to a situation that we're in right now where we're on this Zoom call. They were just never finalized. We went over it online. So, from a Butler standpoint and a Supernova client standpoint, and actually non-Supernova and non-Butlers, in fact, I've got all the dates, and then any plans that have not been created for a client or a Supernova client or a Butler, I've also got the fact that a plan has to be created for those individuals. So I've got a spreadsheet reflecting all that information by FA lead. So by Gary, by Tim, by myself, and by Janet. So I don't know if I can present that. I don't think I can to everybody. But basically that's what I've got so far. The next step is, you know, how to get all the Supernova clients' plans updated and finalized, any that have not done so.
Yep.
But then Butlers, and kind of going from there. So that's where I'm at in the process. Is I've got all the information. Now we just need an action plan on executing.
Right. So now you need, I mean, to me, your action plan would be to assign them what they need to do, which is they know what they need to do, but they may not know exactly who's done what. But you can, you know, break it into little pieces and hand it out to them. Here's your piece of the spreadsheet. Basically fill it in.
Yes.
Right? Finish, do plans for people that haven't done them, finish plans that have done them, and so forth. So that's, then the question is, what's reasonable to do during a week, right?
Yes.
And then when you, at the end of the week, not just how have you done, but, you know, you agreed in a nice way, right? You agreed that you would do one plan a week plus one update a week.
Mm-hmm.
One finalized a week and one brand new one a week. Okay. You know, how'd you do? I did it. I did three actually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's your role. So there's got to be always a goal, timeline, and then accountability.
So realistically, what this list affects the most from a volume perspective is Gary, since Gary's got, you know, the most Supernova clients today. The majority of the clients already have a plan. They just, we just need an action plan, which I figured out from a timing standpoint, I figured it out by quarter. So I had a list of, you know, these are the clients that we could do an updated plan for fourth quarter 2020. These are the clients that we do an updated plan for first quarter 2021, but we have some back and forth because we can't have 50 people cramming in fourth quarter 2020 to a robust, complete, comprehensive plan.
Right. So instead you want to spread them out throughout the year.
Yeah.
Okay. And since he talks to every client every month, he can chip away at that until he gets it done.
Yep.
So Gary, any comments on that from your point of view?
No, I mean, that is completely clear, and I know what's in front of us. What I can see, Andy and Tim, would be the accountability is to complete, let's say I have three that I need to complete. That accountability for me could be having you, Andy, follow up, set a meet, you know, whatever, and have you complete it on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I think. I mean, I think I could use. So you're right. I have the accountability, but it doesn't really have to be me, you know, I mean, I have to set the whole stage up or, you know, how we've done this before. I can just see that being a, even though I'm the lead on it, I set it up, you join us, you help answer a few things, we button it up, you send it, and we're complete.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you'd be involved in it in that way, or Tim, you know, same sort of thing.
I agree. So
isn't that right, Rob? That
yeah.
would work.
Yeah.
You don't want two people digging a hole, yeah. but if there's leverage in a handoff, terrific. That's
like
a handoff.
A perfect example is a couple of the things that Tim and I have been through recently, and a couple of clients that Gary and I have been through recently, where a plan needs to be updated or we need information in order to update the plan. While Tim or Gary are the lead on that relationship, the executive summary or notes that I created, you know, I'm not thinking about investments the way Tim is. And I'm not thinking about relationships and investments the way Gary is. And by on the slip side, from a planning perspective, I'm looking at the plan from a different angle. And then I'm writing down all these notes. That's how we're leveraging each other's strengths. So we're not all rolling the same hamster wheel. And it's just going to take, you know, we have a morning team meeting every morning at 8:30. Well, we started talking about one of the clients. We started talking about, you know, the director of planning or the director of investments. And we're just going to have to coordinate because those executive summaries from my perspective are pretty planning heavy. And so as I'm creating these executive summaries from the plan side, we're just going to have to figure out how to not drop anything. I'm getting an executive summary over to Tim. Tim's sending it to the client. The client's going to give Tim the information, and somehow it's got to get back to me so that I can update the plan.
Yeah, same way. It's two-way
yeah.
street. So
yeah.
nothing, it's basically a, you know, you're CC'd on everything.
That's kind of the only way I see this being able to work so that nobody drops, because the balls are going to start flying through the air quite a bit coming up, and that's the only way I see everybody being on the same page so that everything gets updated timely is if people
remember,
are kept in the loop.
Remember, you got, if it's you and Tim, there's a third person involved, right? That's the client.
Yeah.
And they've got their own accountability, because half the things that you're going to be doing is work that they need to do in order to get the planning done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So just make sure that, you know, you're sending them an agenda, then an executive summary. They've got to have their accountability on that executive summary, just like you guys do.
Right.
So it's a to-do list that includes the client.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, everybody has to be included because you're all got the to-do list. But
right.
So in this particular case where you've got, you know, three people, it could be five people. It doesn't matter. But it's all kind of funneling through your office. You're tracking it. Everything needs to just be copied through you or directed through you. You don't want it stuck in somebody's desk, but if they need to add something before it goes to the client, then it's going to be stuck at their desk until it's completed.
Right.
If it's just a CC, then it goes right out, right? But if you've got to add things, just try and make as much of it as simple as you can.
Sure.
Okay, but it sounds good. But you can see when you actually do this, when you have roles and responsibilities that are for real, it takes a little time and energy, but the productivity goes through the roof because you're getting things done that you would have procrastinated on before. I mean, that's just human nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if there's multiple people.
A couple of other quick things. Andrea, this is where I would see on the S drive, if I would go to, let's say, you know, Peterson, then the things that we're talking about here, these would be under that headline for that client on the S drive. because we're saving like the executive summary and we're saving the workflow under their name. Isn't that right? Everybody?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then, Andy, just kind of as a, you know, back of the envelope calculation here, percentage of plans and then percentage of those that are final. Just as a, you know, in a universe. I mean, just very, you know, loose math.
Yep. Across the board, I'd say 20% of the plans are finalized and then 75% of the clients have plans. 80% of the, you know, basically 85% of the Supernova clients have plans and then 20% of those are finalized.
That's great. It's just, you know, it's so similar to, like, say, when we look at implementation, right? One of the things that you track would be annuitization, right? Percentage of clients that are annuitized versus not. Not because you want everybody annuitized, you don't like to, you know, whatever you're doing, it isn't as important what you're doing as that you know that it's a conscious decision. We want, our maximum we want is 80% annuitized. We want to do some transactional business. We want, so that's our number. Or you want it to be 100%. Whatever it happens to be, you want to make this a conscious business decision, right? Supernova, the investment process. We don't want 300 mutual funds. Just like we don't want, you know, 1,000 clients. We want to supernova that process. So let's go to implementation.
Yeah, so what I've been working on under implementation, but I like what you just said about analyzing the book and having a better feel for me personally to know how it's broken out, because I don't know those percentages. I'm sure Gary does, but it'd be great to know what they are and what our goal is. And so I am gonna work on that. But I accessed your website, Rob, and worked on our 24-month calendar in right. terms of agenda items. I will admit that, and this is a question for you. I brought it up to Gary today. I really just ran out 12 months, primarily because I thought, you know, some of the things are sort of timely to certain months, and it would seem like, you know, every year in January you'd be talking about kind of the outlook, and then June right. you would do a mid-year. And so I wasn't entirely sure why a 24-month calendar would be better than a 12-month calendar, or even if you just started today and built 12 months out ahead, and then, I mean, I'd just be interested in you.
It's a good question, and there's two reasons. One is there's 8 new initiatives inside that 24-month calendar.
Okay.
4 does not complete the financial plan.
Okay.
Okay. And we're giving, the reason we only have 8 is because we're giving ourselves 2 months for those initiatives.
Okay.
Okay. So if we talk about,
we would talk about, let's talk about beneficiary designation, and then the next month would be more follow up related to that.
Yes, because just think about it, right? When you get beneficiary designations, you've always gotten discovered that we have, you know, 12 people with annuities that we didn't even know they had, right? We got to bring those in, take a look at them, and analyze them and so forth.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So perfect. Now we're, you know, let's say we're going to do, risk management, which is a huge topic, right? It's everything, all insurance. You may want to do that, break it out into several different pieces. But let's just say that it's liability management, which is more, it's more manageable. Liability management would be everything from credit card debt to mortgages. And if you talk about people's liability side of the balance sheet and teach them how they can borrow more efficiently, you're going to have 10 people that want to do securitized loans and 5 people that are going to want to do mortgages. Well, just what? Andrea and the rest of the team is going to be like, I love you, but you're freaking me out, right? This is a lot of work. And so you give yourself 2 months because all of it needs follow-up. And we're not here to make you crazy. We're here to make you organized.
Okay.
Okay. So okay. That's the reason. So basically you give yourself 2 years to get through all the batch processing that you need to do.
Okay. That makes sense. Good. Because yeah, I did see some of those months where there was follow-up and I wasn't quite sure exactly why it was scheduled like that, but it makes sense.
It's you guys, just like on the executive summary and the agendas, that wasn't a Rob Knapp idea. That was some wonderful FA that came up with the agenda and then another wonderful FA that came up with the executive summary. And I said, can you really do that? And they said, oh yeah, the clients love it. I'm like, okay, that's part of our strategy from now on. They came back to me and said, Rob, we can't do it. We can't, you're introducing too many things too fast. We can't keep up. So give us 2 months on some of these initiatives. If we're going to introduce long-term care, give us a month to follow up on the 10 cases where people really need it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So that's you guys telling me that it's too much. That's like you guys telling me that 100 clients is too many. You know, that 70 clients is the right number for Supernova. After 3 years, most people doing Supernova have 70 clients. Okay. And that's just, you know, the fact, okay? It's just because you want to increase your productivity, but you don't want to work any harder. You want to have balance in your life. And so, therefore, we want bigger clients with a higher minimum so we can do more business with less busy work, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and then along those same lines, I think that would tie in terms of trying to have something we can scale. We've been building investment models. And we've been doing a lot of analysis on those models that we've proposed, and we're ready to kind of start rolling those out to our clients. And Gary and I have talked specifically regarding 9 clients, and we have them invested one way now, and we want to take a look at putting them in one of our models.
Yeah.
And I think the model idea is that, you know, Tim Laughlin's not sitting here trying to figure out which stocks to buy or sell every morning, but that we're leveraging different resources the firm makes available to us and then feeding that through and providing it a model portfolio for clients.
Yeah.
We've done the math on a couple different models that we're ready to roll.
Super. Yeah, it's just, you know, if you can concentrate, the reality is that there's going to be the exception where somebody has a concentrated position, you can't sell it. That's okay. We kind of don't count that. Like when we're doing the average size of your clients, somebody with 100 million that you have as a client, we don't count that. We put that over here, right? When we're looking at your core assets, your core clients, this is your average productivity, your average revenues per client. It's the same thing here. You want to see the performance of your clients that all have this investment objective. Are they within a normal bell curve, or do we have weird little tails that are good and bad? You know, somebody's up 40% and the other person is up 3%. So wait a minute. We want them all up whatever, 10%, right? So not that we don't like the 40%, but somebody's maybe taking a lot more risk than we're comfortable with, okay? So it's just that you want to kind of bring it in, just like, you know, instead of having 300 clients, you'll improve your overall performance by managing the process more efficiently. You're not looking for mediocrity. You're just being, you can have tremendous performance, but you should have it consistent through everybody that you're managing money for.
Right. And we have implemented now also an investment process in terms of a monthly meeting where we're getting together to discuss economics, markets, and then our strategies and what changes we might want to be considering given the economics and market variables.
Wonderful. Okay, terrific. Brand management, which is operations and service.
Okay. We have gone through, and as of today, we have a total of 64 Supernova clients. 45 are Supernova and 19 are Butlers. And then I broke it down. Gary has 50, Andy has 4, and Tim has 10. So we've kind of gone through, broken down, gotten them sorted. I'm in the process on our S drive. I've got a Supernova folder, I've got a Butler folder, getting all the clients folders in there that we've had, getting them cleaned out and up to date so we can move forward with putting our agendas, our executive summaries, and those items in there.
Wonderful. So where are you versus where you want to be?
As far as organization?
Yeah. In terms of-
Oh, I got a ways to go.
Okay. I mean, are you 50% there in terms of the number of clients that you want to have in the system, or where are we?
We have all the clients in the system. We just don't have them organized by Supernova and Butler and then what I call the extras that we need to weed through.
Okay. So segmentation is finished or not?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Well, yeah, so yeah, to speaking to that, so, you know, I think Rob brings up a good point for us. And I like the way he said that, Andrea, and I don't think it wasn't really just to you, it's to all of us. I don't know that we said, here's the number that we want, here's what our capacity would be, and we're, you know, that's how much room we have left, or that's what our, you know, our business will look like. We really haven't. I think we would, why don't we commit to you to answer that question on our call next week? Cause I don't know that we've gone through all of the clients we currently have. And for example, you know, you see Janet on the call. Janet's been very helpful in, for example, family members, you know, nieces, nephews, children of current clients she has helped with. Andy is trying to see if we can we develop some of those clients? You know, are they people that we can prospect? Would they be a part of our book? And we don't really know the answer to that yet. You know, I mean, that's, we just, you know, just as recently as this morning, we went through on that number. So I think the number is likely a lot higher than right now it appears to be, but we don't yet know the answer to that because of the process that we're currently in.
Okay. How about your rapid response?
I guess. Does that make sense? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to keep examining it. Keep doing forensics and just say to yourself, yeah. Our brand is not determined by our best client, but by our worst client. What is our worst client getting for a client experience? And is that something we're proud of?
Yeah.
That's the ultimate test.
Well, as far as rapid response on that question, that's Andrea, that's, you know, how would you, you're the one that receives the emails and the way that we approach you or the way that we ask of your time. Why don't you answer that question?
I definitely think on most things we've got the 1 hour down. I won't say I've had a ton of them lately. But within 24 hours, I definitely have been trying to solve as many of them as I can. I know a lot of them go individually to the advisors and then they need to forward them to me. I'm not always CC'd on everything yet.
Right. And just know that what you want to do with your clients is train them that to write down in their folders questions that they have. What's going to be the outcome if Biden wins? What's going to be the outcome if Trump wins? That's a conversation for our monthly call. That's not a 911 call, okay? And that's what you really have. And I'd use that example and say that's a conversation we're going to have. What's the economic outlook going to be post-COVID? Okay. My son is buying a Airbnb and he needs $500,000. I'm going to make a securitized loan to him to buy the Airbnb from my portfolio. That's a 911 call. Okay? That happens in between your monthly calls. Because you got to take action on it because he's buying it this week, right? And you got to get ready. So that's the difference. And that's what you teach them. Call us when you have a urgent need for money, a transaction, market-related call. We will have 1 hour response and give you, you know, we will get 24-hour resolution. But for conversations about the outlook for the economy, that's our monthly call. So then you just teach them that. That's the difference between a 911 call and a you know, call a social worker, you know. Okay?
Okay.
So that's very important because the clients, remember, in all these, in every situation, there's you, Andrea, Gary, Tim, Andrea, Andy, and the client, right? So there's always, if it's Gary, it's Gary, Andrea, and the client. There's always three people involved in everything that you're doing. So don't forget about the client. They've got a role and responsibility in this. They've got to finish their financial plan. They've got to meet with their attorney. They've got to do this. They've got to do that. Andrea's got to follow up on her piece. Gary's got to follow up on his piece. So always three people. So it's, you know, there's training issues here. They've got to learn to who to call for what. Okay, marketing.
We fired him. He's no longer at the firm. He's going to sound not nearly as well as the others on the team. Before I get to that real quickly, I thought I might also, you know, since Janet, you know, joined us a bit late there, you know, Janet is working with Tim under the implementation as far as introduction to multiple, you know, if you remember, we have this niche, this corporate cash management business, this niche that,
yes,
that we are working, that Janet leads us on. Okay. So that's been one of the things she has been working on is the introductions and expanding client relationships under, you know, with Tim together on this implementation. I wanted you to, and like they have a meeting set, I think in 2 weeks with one of the clients we've been trying to get, you know, trying to get in front of. So it's been difficult, but that's what she is helping us with, along with the introduction, as I mentioned, to a lot of the family members and relatives and the like that we need to get to know.
And that's marketing, right?
Oh, well, how good. There I go. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of. So, all right. So director of marketing. So I have been, I think under a little bit different impression maybe. And, you know, I'm now, it's becoming clearer to me, which is that, I have a group of potential clients, prospects that I have, Tim does and Andy does, but really my role is to have all three of us working together approaching those people actively. And I really have, it didn't really sink into me until maybe this weekend as much. You know, I kind of had, you know, we have had, Tim, over the last year, Rob has done an excellent job of reaching out to former clients of the bank with where he had served.
Right.
And we've added a number of really good relationships because of that. Okay. Andy, again, you know, newer, but still to former, clients of the firms that where he had worked, and just, you know, friends and people that he'd always wanted to work with. So that's kind of been our, you know, been our focus. And we've just not actively put the prospects under the same supernova format and contact. And I've not done that. And I know better, but I've never really done that. I've just kind of had them on list. And if I think of someone that might work, but you know, that's how I do that and how I will go through it. I'll work with Tim, Andy, and Janet, or, you know, Andrea, anyone that's open to help, to say, listen, I just don't think these guys are going to work out. Let's just cut bait and move on. And that's how you see if they're committed to you. And, you know, I'm in the process of deleting, eliminating those individuals and finding out who truly is a prospect. So one thing that we're doing, Rob, is Andy has been leading us on this WebEx project. You might remember we want to stay active. We're trying to put content out there. And this Wednesday is the second in our three-part series. This one's on behavioral finance, that we are, through an email invitation, through posting on LinkedIn, through following up with prospects and our clients, we're just trying to give opportunities for people to see what we're doing, not so much to know that we have 10 people that register or 5 or 50. It's so that we continue to build and know that people know that we're active in the marketplace. That's been our thought, okay? We feel like we're a little hamstrung because we have to use WebEx, and WebEx isn't really that easy to use. And so that's all we can do. We can't use, we're all using Zoom. This is all our personal stuff. Mm-hmm. We can't go through our website. I mean, our system. And it's difficult. So I think Andy, we've tried to make improvements. So we'll see how it goes. And Andy, you sent the other one out earlier today, I think, the second one, didn't you?
Yep.
Did you, I think? Invite? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Invite. But we have instructions placed there as far as registering and giving a little bit more detail to make it hopefully a little bit easier. But we're trying some things, is what I would say is from a marketing standpoint. But I feel like we are adding some value really to our current marketing efforts, but I need to have it in such a way, you know, organized in such a way that I've got better prospects. Okay. And then take the same thing to the center of influence. We've had our first center of influence meeting last month.
Yep.
And it's been about a month, Andy. And that's the one thing I'm looking at Andy. Jason said he would join us on this call, or he thought he would, but I haven't heard from him. So I'm going to follow up with a phone call and with Stacy to say, remember you mentioned this, you couldn't do it, we'd like you to be able to join us, here's the kind of content. So it's, well, we had our first one. We haven't given them a folder because of, I should say, obvious reasons, but we haven't been able to prepare folders and print things. But we're starting down that path. So those are my updates.
So you captured the two pieces that are the most important. One is organize your marketing initiative and then update your pipeline. And then your pipeline should be a weekly part of your quote Monday meeting.
Yeah.
So every Monday, the pipeline gets shown to everybody. Where are we? How many in it? What's our closure rate? So far, these are the things we're going to improve our closure rate. They're all pipeline related. Then the initiatives, right? We have seven different initiatives for, theoretically that we could use. And we haven't covered those yet, but they're out there. And one of them is centers of influence. The other one is niches, right? And developing centers of influence inside a particular niche and then scheduling those on a monthly basis. That's the key. So everybody eventually should have six centers of influence that they are in regular contact on a monthly basis. So Tim, you, Andy.
So we should have 18 center of influences. We should have 18. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We should have 18 center of influences.
Six each. That's okay. Like you have people all swimming in the pool, right? You don't want everybody standing by in the pool watching Gary swim. Okay. So, yep. You know, if we have four people that are designated as FAs, we want four people swimming. And just think of the leverage of that versus watching Gary swim or watching Andy swim. We're not parents here. We're all participants. Yep. So, yeah, 18. Correct. And you can decide that we're going to have a master list of the best of the best. Okay. For our enthusiastically endorsed list. But we each should have our own. Because think about it. Different parts of town, people don't want to go across. You know, people from certain, I remember in Davenport, people wouldn't go across the river to meet with a CPA or an attorney or anything. You're on one side of the river and you're on the other. That's so weird, but that's the way it was. And same with any town. You know, people want to be, if they're in the suburbs, they want to be in the suburbs. They don't want to go downtown. I mean, it might be for a special person, but very rare. They want, you know, so in thinking about that, you got so many different ways to break it up. So you're going to need multiple CPAs, multiple attorneys, and they each will have different specialties and things. So that's where we want to get to. And then you have your clients, your clients become your centers of influence. And we'll talk about that. So good. Leadership is the final piece, and that's kind of pulling it all together. We're kind of out of time right now, but you're pulling it all together, meeting with each team member, helping them through the challenges of developing their skill set in order to do this. And you know, you're in a perfect position to come out of COVID-19 with a great practice, you know. So what did you do? I mean, what I'm focusing on right now is, you know, what are you going to say you did during the year of COVID-19? You know, what did you accomplish? And you can sit back and go, you know what? We transformed our business. We did a complete makeover. You know, we worked hard, and you are, but you're going to come out feeling pretty good about things. So keep working hard on this. And, you know, I think everybody's got their assignments just by, and I think that's a brilliant idea to, you know, to go through roles and responsibilities because we cover everything. We do some training that way and we're all going to get better at what we do. So I think, you know, traditionally I haven't always done that. But I think it, particularly for you guys, I think it's really working well. So let's keep doing that.
Got it. Thank you, Rob.
Good. Thanks, guys.
Right, have a great rest of the day. Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Congratulations, by the way. You're really on track. I really love what you're doing.
It's a great comment. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You're working hard.